something missing in all of us. We were made for something more, and we know it. I think there's no greater truth than what that begins to speak, and that's what we're going to talk about today and over the next 6 weeks. So welcome. We're glad that you're here. My name's Clay. I failed to mention that when I came out earlier. I'm one of the pastors here. And before we get rolling into anything, a couple of things we'd love to be able to point out and say, if you're new around here, we are super excited that you're here. We are just really glad that you're here. And before we say anything else, you need to know that in this space, in this service, in the next service, and in everything that we do, you are completely surrounded by people who are just like you. Not people who used to be like you, not people who tolerate people like you, not people who, you know, want to change you. You are surrounded by people who are just like you. What I mean by that, people who have done some of the same things that you have done, have some of the same regrets that you have parts of their past in their life that they wish they could change, just like you wish you could change. I say all that to say this, if you're new around here, whatever your story is, no matter what is in it and how it comes about, your story is safe here. And we want to see you be able to grow in that, and we think it's great, and we're thrilled that you're here. Special shout out to those of you that are coming, and you came for your first time for our Christmas Eve service. That was an amazing experience. So glad that you could kind of see us all together in one service as a church. We're thrilled that you're here and you're back. And for those of you that are just too wimpy to get out of bed and you're watching this online, because it's cold and you're in the South and anything, you know, below 60 degrees is too cold to come to church. We're thrilled that you're warm, I guess. You know, however you're listening to us, we're excited that you are doing that. But I am thrilled for the start of the year. I like to begin new things, and I don't know if some of you are like me. You like to start new things. And so when we begin a new year, every time we begin a new year, there's something inside of me that is just excited about what a new year can bring and what it is. And maybe you're here today because of some of that excitement, because the new year you're saying, there's some new things I'm going to do. I want to start this differently. I want to do this differently. And so, you know, 2018, I'm just going to change some things in my life. And maybe you're looking for a church, and that's one of the things. You said, look, maybe we need to get back in church, or maybe we need to change churches. And so, you know, you're here on a Sunday. I need more God in my life. And so you're here on a Sunday. Or maybe you just talked about other things. You know, this is the year that I'm going to do something with my career. I'm going to change careers. This is the year that I'm going to do something, you know, inside of my relationships. This is the year I'm actually going to dump that loser, and all my friends are going to be thrilled that I finally got rid of that dude. And or maybe this is the year that I'm going to get out of debt. This is the year that I'm going to get my anger under control. This is the year that I'm going to stop drinking, stop smoking. Whatever it is for you, I know that the beginning of something, there's something that just stirs inside of us that says, yeah, this is it for me. And I'm excited that you are here starting out 2018 and you're saying, look, I think I'm just going to give God, maybe you're here saying, I'm just going to give God a shot. Maybe it's been a while since you've given God a shot. Maybe, you know, you grew up and maybe you left the church for whatever reason, but for some reason, something has called inside of you. Something inside of you spoke to that statement and said, there's got to be something more to this life. And so you find yourself in a church in 2018, and we are glad that you're here. And what I love about this series as we're getting started is we kind of crafted this whole series as we were thinking about it with this whole idea of just starting fresh, just starting new. And when it comes to spiritual things, and if you've grown up in church, man, this is going to be an amazing series for you, because we're going to talk about how do you just start over spiritually? How do you just begin again? How can you have a relationship with God? And what we're going to talk about in this series is a message and some truth that we're going to weave in for the next 7 weeks, this week and 6 weeks more. We're going to talk about some truths that have changed the lives of a lot of people inside of our church. A lot of people have grasped onto this message, have dove into what it is, and they've begun to experience true and genuine life change. So if you're new with us, this is a great week to be here, because you're going to see how we roll, why we do what we do. You're going to see why we value what we value, because it is all built in to this series. But for me personally, it's more than just a series about this is what we value and this is how we do our programs and this is why we do what we do. Personally, this is something to me, because this is a message that my wife and I began to Jesus teaching us this and leading us in this that really altered and changed our experience about 10 years ago. It changed the relationship that I had with my wife. It changed our relationship that we had with God. We had kind of a boring, dead, religious relationship with God, if I'm honest, for most of our life. And things began to come alive. This allowed me to set new priorities inside of my family and begin to understand how to do the things that I just weren't able to do before. It came at one of the most desperate times in my life, if I'm honest. Probably one of the most depressive times in my life. I am mostly an optimistic person. I'm not mostly. I'm always an optimistic person. And for one time, this period in my life, nothing was going right. And I remember my wife, as I was talking to her about something, she said, "You know, honey, you're depressed." And I'm like, "Oh, this is what depression feels like." I had no clue. I'd never been depressed in my life. And in that moment, in those quiet hours of desperation, God in his graciousness began to show us and began to reveal some things to us through people that we met, through scriptures that we were reading, through books and teachings and things that we did. And I began to have an experience with Jesus that I have never had in my life. And I grew up in church. I mean, every time the doors opened, I went to church. I went to seminary. I had been a pastor for 15 years. What we're going to talk about in the next 7 weeks is the thing. It is the thing that revitalized and renewed and re-energized my relationship with God like it has never been before. And here's the good news. The exact same thing can happen for you. And the reason I know that is because I have watched it happen to tons of people all around me as we begin to introduce them into this is how God wants you to live. This is the way that Jesus has designed how to live and to go about living. We have watched people be set free. We have watched their lives change. We have watched them be energized. And so the good news is it can happen to you. So we're going to begin this new journey with kind of an introductory message today. We're going to scratch the surface of everything, and then we're going to go a little bit deeper over the next 6 weeks into some of these truths and teachings. But what we're going to talk about today is something that, quite honestly, doesn't get talked about a whole lot in church. What we're going to talk about today is the inner you, what I'm calling your invisible life. And before you get scared and say, "Oh man, is he going to want to reveal all my deepest, darkest secrets and talk about all the things that I lay hidden that I don't want someone to see or all the things that I'm currently doing," we're not talking about those things. What we're going to talk about is the side of you that nobody sees. Not necessarily all the bad things that you're doing, but that side that people just don't notice. And that part of you that you don't even notice sometimes. I'm calling it the invisible life that you're having that nobody sees, but it is in dealing with that part of you that God, through his son Jesus, lays out a very clear path to life. Jesus taught a lot about life, and I grew up in church, and I heard the word, and I never experienced it, but it was when Jesus began to deal with my invisible life, the things that I was ignoring, the things that no one wanted to notice, the things that we would just rather not talk about. It was in that I really began to experience life, this whole idea that I was made for so much more. It was in that I came alive. So let's jump in this together and see if we can find out if there's something more to your life as well. So we're going to read in the Bible. We're going to go to Luke chapter 4. So if you got a Bible, you can turn there or open up your Bible app, or you can ignore all of that. You can just read it on the screen with us. But we're going to look at the story here at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. So we're going to set a little bit of context, and then we're going to dive into what he says. So in Luke chapter 4 here, let's read, and then we'll get into some context. Luke chapter 4, jump down to verse 14. It says, "Then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him quickly spread through the whole region. He taught regularly in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. And when he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures." So let's stop right here, because there's some things, and maybe you've read this passage before, there's some things that we really need to unpack here if we're going to get to this idea of dealing with our invisible life. A little bit of context. Jesus is at the beginning of what we would call his ministry. So he's 30 years old. He's lived his whole life in this town of Nazareth. He has been more than likely just learning his dad's craft, learning how to be a carpenter. He was the son of a carpenter, doing his thing for 30 years. And not very long, just very days, maybe even weeks, before the event that we just read here, he goes down to the River Jordan, those of you that know Bible, and he was baptized by his cousin, John the Baptist. Not John the Methodist or the Pentecostal, it was John the Baptist. I'm teasing. John the Baptizer. He comes in, and when he is baptized, there's an amazing thing that happens. A voice booms from heaven, and in my paraphrase of it is this. It says, "This is my son, that's my boy." And I want everyone here to know how proud I am of him. I love him deeply, and I'm proud of him. It was Jesus' validation from his Father that came. And this has happened. Immediately after that happens, Jesus goes out into the desert where it says that he is tempted. He fasts for 40 days. And at the end of this fasting period, Satan himself comes to Jesus and begins to go through these series of temptations. He leaves that. He leaves all of the temptations and brings us to this point. He decides, he comes on a walk and he comes in and he comes back to his hometown. Back to where he grew up, back to where everybody knows his name, everybody knows who he is. He comes to his home church, his home synagogue. We'll call it a church just so it's easy for us. He comes to his home church and he sits down and they hand him a scroll and they say, you're a rabbi, so we want you to read something. And what Jesus is about to read becomes very, very, very important. What he's about to read begins to set the course for his entire ministry. This is why I'm here. This is what I came to do. But before we get to that, there's some interesting things that we need to understand and absorb here. And the first is this: who is it that Jesus is about to read this to? You see, Jesus has come to his home church. He's about to lay out his mission. He's about to say, here's what I'm going to do. But he's going to do it in front of a bunch of church people. And what he's saying here, and I think it's true then, I think it's true now, is Jesus says, look, I've got something that those of you who know God really, really well, I need you to understand what it is that I need to do. You need to understand what is important to me and what I'm about to do. And if you think about this moment, here he is surrounded by the most religious people. They had gotten up early. They had gone to church. And they're here to hear a message. These are people who have chosen to go to church. These are people who have lived their life in a devotion to God. And Jesus is about to read a statement to them, not to the people who aren't interested in God. Sometimes we think that what he read is a message to the people who don't know God. No. He's reading this for people who care. For all practical purposes, they're chasing after God. They're the people who attend the church on a regular basis. They read their Bible. They study the scriptures. They know exactly what God expects of them. And this is who Jesus is about to reveal this to. But not only that. Think about the context of where he is. Not just that he's talking to church people. Who is he talking to? He's talking to church people that watched him grow up. He's talking to church people that have seen little Jesus since he was little Jesus. And I believe he chose this moment and this point in time to declare his mission because he needed to blow up all the expectations. He needed to reverse and change all of the limitations that people had on him. Always little Jesus. He's just always going to be little Jesus. And he comes in and says, look, no. I need to change your expectations. I need to change the limitations you have on me. I need to remove those. This is why I believe he comes to his home church and speaks this message to church people. You see, the kindest, I believe the kindest, most loving thing that Jesus could ever do for us is exactly what he did for those people. To blow up our limitations of him. To completely explode whatever expectations you have of Jesus, whatever limitations you have, that is the kindest thing. And the reason I know that is because it's the kindest, it is the best thing that he ever did for me. I grew up in church. My grandfather was a pastor. I come from a long line of church people. And the kindest, most awesome thing that Jesus ever did for me was blow up my expectations, blow up my limitations that I had on God and I had on Jesus. And that pain, when I was in my most desperate moment and in my depression and thinking that life is never going to work out for me ever again and there's just never going to be any happiness, he stepped into that and said, why do you have this limitation on me? Who do you think I really am? What do you think is really going on? And it really was the first step in a long journey that I've been on for 10 years now, journeying and finding out more and more and more in my life. So here's the thing. I grew up in church. And my church experience was all around duty It was all around keeping the rules. It was all around making sure that you do the right things and you don't do the wrong things, right? Don't go with girls who drink or smoke or chew or whatever, right? Don't have sex because that'll lead to dancing. All those rules that went on. And that was my church experience. My Christian life, and maybe your Christian life, was all centered around what I call sin management. That this is the best and the highest that there is. That I begin to follow Jesus, and now all I got to do, I got to manage my sin. I got to make sure I don't do all these things. I got to make sure I got to start doing all these things. And I'm telling you right now, the best thing that Jesus ever did in my life was come and just blow that up. And so you think I came to bring a gospel of sin management? Are you out of your mind? And that's what he did. And this is what he's beginning to do as he begins to read these words. Verse 17, he begins to say, he picks up the scriptures, he sits down, and he's about to announce what is to come. The scroll of verse 17 says, the scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will be seen, and the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. And then he went on to say, today in your hearing, the prophecy that I just read has come true. And what's interesting is what Luke gives us is almost a paraphrase of what is actually written in Isaiah 61, because there's a couple of interesting additional things in here. In Isaiah 61, if you go to the actual text, it says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. The Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, to proclaim the captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come. So Jesus reads this scripture and he says, look, guys, all of this has now come true. Now, if I'm honest with you, I'd read this passage a whole lot of times before. I'd probably heard a dozen, maybe two or three dozen messages of other pastors preaching on this. Again, I said I grew up in church. I went to seminary. I've been trained. I'd been a pastor for many, many, many years. I'd read this story so many times. And I'll tell you what I had concluded, and basically what I had been taught, is that what he was saying here was just other categories of people that Jesus is coming to forgive. Right? These are the people that Jesus wants to come and save. And so I would read through this and I would go, I came for the poor. Well, I kind of grew up middle class, probably like most of you grew up middle class. And I said, well, I mean, I guess he didn't come for me because I'm not really that poor. It's not me. Brokenhearted. Man, I'd read that so many times. I'm like, well, there's a couple of times in some bad dating relationships. We got a little brokenhearted, but not really like brokenhearted. How brokenhearted can you get when your 11th grade girlfriend breaks up with you? So I guess that's not working, right? That's not me. Prisoners. I mean, I'd done some bad things in my life, to be honest. None of them, hopefully, worthy of going to jail. I hadn't been arrested or anything. So like a prisoner, that's not going to work, right? And that's how I read this passage, that this is just categories of people that Jesus has come. So I guess I don't know where I fit in this. I don't know that Jesus has come for me. These are just additional people that Jesus needs to come and forgive. And I'm excited that he's going to forgive them, but I don't know that I fit into this. But you know what this really truly is? What Jesus is reading here is a list of needs that exist in every single person in this room. He's not talking about categories of people. He's talking about the story of your life. He's talking about the things and the hidden things of what is going on. He's talking about what sits inside of your heart. If you say, I've come for the brokenhearted, and if you've ever been here and you've ever experienced the measure and the amount of disappointment where you wake up the next day and you just don't even know if you want to even be alive, your heart is just broken. Jesus says, I get that. I want to fix that. If you've ever felt captive by anything, maybe it's some bad habit that you've had, maybe it's a life circumstance or a situation that you're in, and you just feel like, I can't be free, I can't get free, I can't get free. Jesus says, I want to handle that. I want to bring freedom to you. See, it's not categories of people that need forgiven. It's conditions of the heart that God wants to come in and reveal and heal and set free. See, we miss this sometimes because we think it's just what Jesus is talking about is just a sin issue. All these people that had committed all these sins and he wants to forgive. And like, we understand as a church, we understand the significance of sin. I think we really understand that. We understand how it breaks and we get sin. But one of the things that we don't understand is our story. We get the significance of sin, but we do not understand the significance of our own story. What I've lived through. What I have gone through. And don't get me wrong, I want you to hear this. I mean, sin is a big deal. It is the thing that separates us from God. So I don't make light of that. I just think in the church, we understand sin really well. We're pretty good at pointing it out. Right? Wouldn't you say? I mean, especially those of you that are coming back to church. Maybe you left church because that's all we kind of do as a church is point out everybody else's sins. You know, here's the thing. Our sin is not invisible to us at the church. We get that. When someone does something, we see it and we're good to see it. But our stories, the things that are going on in our heart, that's the thing that we just don't do really well in church. You see, behind every sin is a story. Behind every action is a story. And we get the actions and we understand that. We don't understand the stories sometimes. And what Jesus is saying in this passage, he wants to be invited into your story, your invisible life. Not just the things you have done. I think we understand those. But he wants to be invited into the things that you have had done to you. He wants to be invited into that pain. Those things that have been said about you. Those things that have been said to you. What about the time that he wrote you off? What about the time that she broke up with you, he walked away, or that time that you were abused, neglected, or raped, or sodomized, or beaten again? That time someone told you that you will never have any value, that you'll never amount to anything, you should just quit trying, that you were worthless, that you'll never measure up, that you just don't have what it takes. What about those things? What about the things in your life that you honestly had nothing to do with? It wasn't your fault. You didn't make it happen. They just happened to you. What about your story? You see, Jesus wants to be invited into all of your story, everything that's there. You know, we don't pay much attention to how we got to where we're at in the church. We're really good at pointing out where you're at right now. We just don't really do a good job of understanding your story. And what I have learned in my 10-year-long journey is that your story matters to God. All the things that you have done, yes, they matter. But all the things that have been done to you, they matter as well. That your story really matters. You know, and when I began to understand that God cares about my story and that all the things that had happened to me and all of the emotional pain and the trauma and the things I've gone through, that those mattered to God. I have a story and my story matters. And many of you, you have a story. And there's probably undoubtedly a lot more pain in your story than is in my story. That doesn't make my story any less than yours and it doesn't make yours any less than mine. They're all equally valued. You see, about 10 years ago, thankfully, moved past it now, but about 10 years ago, I'd reached a point in ministry where I had burned out in ministry. We had gone to Atlanta, we had done a couple of churches and planted a couple of churches, and we'd experienced some massive success and some great success. And then at the end, we were experiencing a lot of failure. I mean, you ever done something and it failed? You ever had a dream and it failed? And that was what was going on in my life at the time. It was like the death of a dream. It's like, God, why do you put all this out in front of me and then you just take it all away? And we had reached a point 10 years ago where we had gone to our elders in our church and said, hey, you know, this has been a great run and it's been fun. I can't do this anymore. My heart's not in it. And I'm out, and I quit. And it was very devastating to me because I had expected to give my whole life to this church. I thought, I'm going to live out, I'm going to retire here, I'm going to die, they're going to bury me under the stage, or, you know, whatever. And my dream was dead. I don't know if you've ever had a dream. I'm not talking about like, oh, you know, a small dream. I mean a big dream. Like a big life dream that you had pointed your whole life to, and you thought that this was it. If you've ever had a dream that died, that's where I was at. And I didn't want to get out of bed. My wife knew this. Like, I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to do anything. You know, I started listening to country music. That should have been a big indicator of where I was at in my life. I was like, I'm sitting around a fire. I'm drinking beer and listening to country music. What happened? My dog didn't die, though. But my wife was like, I think you're really, really depressed. And the last thing I wanted was church. I didn't want anything to do with church. I didn't want to go to church. So if you're here and you've been there, hey, I've been there too. Me too. I've been there. So my wife and kids are going to church. I'm not going to church. And all my Christian friends around me and all the other pastors around me are now questioning my salvation. This is wonderful. This is how the church acts. Right? Like, well, I don't know if he's saved. I don't know. He's not going to church, you know, he's not going, listening to country, started smoking cigars, he's unsaved. We, as a church, we have a hard time understanding story, don't we? And I think we throw people under the bus because we don't get story. You know, like, not loving God and myself, that was the farthest thing. Was I mad at God? Absolutely. But had I walked away from faith? Not at all. Not at all. But so I'm living through this experience. I'm going through this major depressing time in my life. And God came to me and began to show me this message. Hey, Clay, brokenhearted is not just a category of people. That's something I actually want to do for you. Right here. Right now. I want to fix that. You know, you feel captive. You feel like there's not going to be anything. I want to set you free. Not like, hey, I forgive you of your sins and all that. I understand that. I mean free. Free where all that matters is what I think of you and what you think of me, and you can live your life as free. And when I began to understand that God loved me at that level and that Jesus could walk with me through my story, I began to understand, well, maybe I'm not a bad person. Maybe I'm not a terrible pastor. You know, maybe I'm not a quitter, which is what the enemy kept telling me. You know, maybe I'm not all of these things. Maybe for the first time, I'm a broken person. Maybe I'm just broken. You see, and broken is different than bad, isn't it? And God began to do something for me. God began to come alive, all right? And so I started onto this journey, and, you know, it just messed with me because I had built my identity, my whole adult identity, on what you would think of me. My whole identity was, I pastor a big church, and a lot of people are coming, and this is amazing. I built my whole identity on that, and it was wrong. This is not who God saw me as. And God had to break all of that down and say, look, here's what you are. Here's who I see you. And it doesn't matter what other people see. And it's not related to your job. And it's not related to your career. It's not related to any of that. It's who you are. And so as I began to understand, it was amazing. And there was a book that I was reading at the time that just really made this stuff come alive. And if you want a book to read, I got a whole list of books on your notes at the end of this that would be valuable for you to read. But the book I was reading at the time was a book called Wild at Heart. And I remember reading this book, and again, it was in the worst, desperate, most part of time, and I'm reading it, and I was getting so much out of it that Jody would be in the other room, and I'm just yelling things back out of her, you're not going to believe this, and I'm like reading her the book out loud across from me. You ever done that? And it was in those moments that I was just becoming alive. The more I read, the more I understood that all of a sudden, man, I had grown up in church, I had pastored a church for 15 years, I did not know that all this stuff, this Jesus making you come alive and freedom, I didn't really know how it really worked. And Jesus says, look, I came to show you how you can really be free, how you can truly live. And my life began to change, and I started to find hope. Jesus came to do something for me that was amazing. He came to do, it's the first time I realized in my life, he came to do more than just forgive me. He became to give me life. And then after 6 years of being away from ministry, which I pretty much had told God, I hate church people. I don't want to be around church people ever again. So I'm sorry. I didn't like you. After 6 years, God really began to change my heart and say, look, I want to bring you back into ministry. And I remember my wife and I having this conversation. I said, look, if I'm going back, we're going to do it differently. We're going to teach people how to be free. We're going to teach people how to walk in freedom. Jesus, I want to do what you said your mission was, to heal the brokenhearted and set the captives free and all those things. I want to do that. And so when we came and we became a part of here at Next Level and began leading here at Next Level, that's exactly what we did. We began to teach people the things that we're going to teach you over the next 6 weeks. This is how you operate. This is how the enemy operates. This is how you can go about your life. And we started seeing people set free. We started seeing people that had been in church their whole life all of a sudden experience a relationship with God that they had never experienced before. And so we just started chasing after that harder and harder and inviting more people. Hey, you want to come on this journey? You want to do this amazing thing? We started these small groups. We started meeting with guys around fire pits. We started doing ladies' retreats and men's retreats, trying to tell people this message over and over and over. And the amazing thing that happens is when you get on the mission that Jesus said he came to do, people actually begin to experience freedom. It was amazing. And don't hear me wrong. You know, as we begin to talk about freedom and all that, I get that there's forgiveness and that's really important and your sin really, really matters. But as we go through this message, I want you to understand we get that. But I think as a church, we all understand that. What we want to talk about over the next 6 weeks is how do you move to the next thing? Because the biggest lesson that I learned and that we teach people over and over and over in this church is there's a difference between living forgiven and living free. There is a difference. You see, as a church, we do a really good job of talking about how to live forgiven. And again, I'm not downplaying sin, and you need to have forgiveness of your sin. Sin is the thing that nailed Jesus to the cross. I all understand. Can we move on a little bit? There's a difference between living forgiven and living free. And the best of both is to be in both worlds, to live forgiven and free. You see, as a church, we don't teach much about forgiven. We don't teach that, oh yeah, you can have a life that truly is free. It's not about sin management. It's not about behaving all the right ways. It's not about doing all these things. That there is a way that you can be set free. And see, as a kid growing up, I grew up in church. I watched people live a forgiven life. And there's a side of that that is really great. And I'm thankful for all of my Sunday school teachers and all the people who went ahead of me, and they showed me what it's like to live forgiven. But at 38 years old, when I walked away from pastoring a church and I looked around at all these people, I had this overwhelming sense of they don't seem very happy. They don't look like they're enjoying life. Yeah, they're forgiven. And yeah, I guess they're going to have some glad morning when this life is over. They'll fly away and life will be good. But they don't look very happy right now. And God began to show me, and Jesus said, look, I want you to live not just forgiven, I want you to live free. That what I am giving you, when Jesus says, look, I've come to you to have life and life to the full, I'm talking right now. Man, when I got onto that, that's been like a drug for me. It's like, oh, I want more life. I want more life. I want more life. Show me what more freedom is. You see, there was this voice that was inside of me that says, you, Clay, you were made for so much more. You were created for more, and you know it. And maybe there's a voice inside of you that is speaking loud in you and says, look, you were made for something bigger than this. You were made for something, to live for something more than just forgiven. You were made to live free, to have a purpose, to do something amazing with your life. And I believe if Jesus walked into this church today, or if he walked into any church, I believe if he walked in and was to open a scroll and read to us from Scripture, I believe he would read the exact same Scripture. I think he would dial it up to Isaiah 61, and this is what he would say. Because what was true then, the message that he had for church people, is the same thing that he would say. And the reason that I know that is because that is the message that he gave me. Hey, Clay,
I came to heal your broken heart. I came to set you free. So my question for us, as we go through this whole series, and I get this is a primer, and I get it sounds like a sales job. Come back next week. My question for you is this. This Jesus that fights for your freedom, this Jesus that says, look, it's not about rules and regulation. This Jesus says, look, there is a life beyond living forgiven. There's a life where you can run and live free. There's a life that says you have a purpose and we're going to do something grand and glorious. Is that the Jesus that you're experiencing today? Is that the Jesus that you grew up with? Is that the Jesus that your Sunday school teacher and your pastor taught you? If they did, that is fantastic and that's wonderful. But I can tell you, at 38 years old, I had to answer that question, no. And I had to learn who this Jesus was. I had to blow up. He had to come in and blow up all my expectations and all my limitations, and he had to start over. And as you sit here today, I may not know you, but here is something that I do know that is true about you, whether I know you or not. You were born into a great story. A story that started before the beginning of time. There was adventure. There was risk. There was betrayal. It's a dangerous story of good warring against evil. You were born into a story that has been going on for longer than time itself. And you were created to play a role in that story. And there's going to be risk, and there's adventure, and there is heartache, and there is failure. But man, there is excitement, and there is fulfillment, and there is purpose. You were created to play a role, and something in your heart says, yes. And the reason I know that is because it shows up in the movies that you get excited about. There are certain movies that you watch, and your heart just comes alive. There are certain stories, and when you hear them and you read them, something in you just wants to explode and pound the table. Yes, 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 that is God inside of you. That is Jesus saying, look, you were created for more. Yeah, there's forgiven. And again, I'm not saying and trying to belittle that. But you were created for more than being forgiven. You were created for a role. You were created to be free. And the wounds that you have in your life and the disappointment that you have in your life just further points to the fact that you have an enemy that wants to prevent you from playing your role in the story. Actually, John Eldridge writes it this way in the book that I showed you. He says, your story is the story of a long and sustained assault on your heart by the one who sees and fears who you could be. That's your story. And it begins with you allowing the Holy Spirit and allowing God into your invisible life. That side of you that you've ignored. That side of you that you really haven't looked at. And you're like, God, don't go in there. It begins there. And if you will allow him in there, whether you're forgiven or not. Hey, forgiveness, it begins there. I get that. But maybe you've been forgiven, but you've not allowed God into your invisible life. It begins there. And I get that we've just scratched the surface. We're going to come back next week and we're going to talk about the larger story. We're going to talk about where your role is and fits in this. We're going to talk about the heart of a man. We're going to talk about heart of a woman. We're going to talk about so many things over the next 6 weeks. But it begins with what Jesus read and his promise for you in his mission. Look, I've come to comfort the brokenhearted, to bring good news to the poor, and to set the captives free. Whatever you got going on in your life, no matter what your story is, there is freedom. And I stand here and tell you, and there are many people in this room that will tell you the exact same story. You can live free. Forgiven and free. It's available. Let's all pray. Jesus, oh, first and foremost, in a message like this, we need you. We need you. Would you just come? God, I know in a lot of ways that what you want to do of us just feels like an excavation. It's digging into our heart. Jesus, we invite you into that treasure hunt. God, I know personally that the path to that treasure can be a path for pain. I understand that. And there are people inside of this room who are exactly where I was. They gave up on church a long time ago. In fact, it's a wonder that they're even here today. God, I know that there are people here who are just going through the motions. My prayer, Jesus, is that you allow all of them to live free, to understand what it really means to be free. God, give them the courage, give them the strength to go through what they need to go through, because I'm sure they're exactly where I was. They just don't know, have a clue how to do this. God, would you put inside of us a desperation that we're not going to settle for just living forgiven. God, thank you for that forgiveness. It's amazing. Thank you for paying that ultimate price. But also thank you for not leaving us there. God, have us yearn for freedom. So Jesus, open our eyes to see. Give us the courage to take the journey. Shine your light into the darkness of our invisible life. Help us find that buried treasure, that life that you came to bring us today. We pray for it in your name. Amen.